What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast Listener Spotlight. We're talking with Jason England here. Jason has been in several of the chat rooms as we talked, and he's also said he's used the Sports Medicine Broadcast in his class a couple different times. And so we've been trying to figure out if there's a way we can do like a Skype guest or use it as part of a lesson plan, things like that. So, Jason, it's a pleasure to have you as a guest on the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your athletic training story?
I'll be honest with you. I was in college, and I was headed to physical therapy school, and I got about halfway through my coursework and decided physical therapy school wasn't for me. I didn't want to be tied down to an office every day. Always had a love for science, so I went back and I pursued a degree in biology. And I was one of the last few trainers to come through the internship program. So I started at UT Chattanooga, and I finished up at University of Alabama in Huntsville under the head trainer there in 2002. Didn't ever do anything in high school. I kind of, you know, I was in and out. Didn't really play in high school. I went to a really large high school. Probably by Texas standards where you guys are at, it's probably not that big. But growing up in Arizona, it was a pretty big high school. So I really didn't do anything until, I guess, 97. I graduated in 94. 97 is when I started in the training room at Chattanooga. And then I transferred to UAH in 99.
All right. And then... So tell me, in high school, how big was your high school?
We were considered at the time 5A. When I graduated, we had a population of about 2,500 students.
Yeah, see, that's actually bigger. Our student population here at Pasadena, at Pasadena High School, is about 2,100. Now, at Dobie, one of the schools in our district, it's about 3,500.
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe it's 3,000, but yeah. So it's about the same.
Yeah, well, the high school here that we have it is considered 6A, and I think that there's about 800 students here. So there's a big difference between where I grew up and where I'm at now.
All right. So once you graduated from, you said UAH?
Yes.
Once you graduated from there, how did your story continue?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I decided to cram everything in. I graduated from college. We had a baby. My wife and I, and I kind of put athletic training on the back burner. Didn't get certified straight out of college. Took a few years off, and I finally, first time I was certified in 06, and really didn't, you know, with the schools here, because the athletic training situation was new. You didn't have a trainer in every school like you do now. So I didn't practice for the first 3 years that I had my certification, and when I finally got to the point where I was ready to do so, the funds weren't there to hire a trainer, so I kind of just sat on it and didn't do a whole lot. And the last couple of years, there's been a big push to get a lot of trainers in the high schools here, and so I went back. Unfortunately, you know, in that time, I had to let my certification expire, and I went back and I got recertified. So I've taken the old test where we had the three parts, and then I've taken the new computerized tests, so there was a big difference, and I was brought on as the assistant trainer at the high school I'm at now.
That's good. I might need to have a conversation with you after this, because I was also certified, but then I let it go because I transferred schools or you know, got a new job, and I didn't keep all my paperwork about my CEUs, so I couldn't submit it. So I was like, well, I just don't have it. I can't submit it. And so then I lost it, and then I would like to regain the certification, but I'm just not sure how I would do on the test and if it's worth all that money. But I might need to have a conversation with you another time just about the process, what you did to study, taking the test, and since you've done both as well. So
yeah. I will say this, that you know, as far as the first test, the three-part test, it was much more nerve-wracking, if you will, than the last one. I don't know, the last one was a whole lot different, just because you're sitting in a classroom, you know, you're on a computer and that type of stuff. So it's a lot different.
All right. So tell me, what does your daily schedule look like now as an athletic trainer?
Well, actually, and I hated this, but I'm actually not practicing right now. kind of in a, I don't know if you want to call it a contract dispute, but just I don't feel that the money is where it should be. So I'm kind of in between jobs right now. And but as far as day, when I was working here, you know, I have science classes. I have three split science classes, and then three sports medicine classes. And seventh period is our athletic period here. So I would go down to the athletic training room and you know, we'd do treatments and get the athletes ready. And then if we had games or whatever, because I was in a PRN position, I didn't work practices. It was pretty much game only situations. So I would go out and cover. Typically, I'd help in with football in the fall. And, you know, as far as game nights on Friday nights or if they needed help covering something else, volleyball was my main coverage sport in the fall. And then in the spring, I had soccer. We had a really, really crazy spring last year, you know, as far as weather goes. So I can't tell you how many games got canceled and rescheduled. And they finally, at the end of the year, because we had so much rain, the field wasn't playable. They ended up canceling, I think, the last two games, and we never replayed them. So, you know how it is. Sometimes you get home at, you know, 6 o'clock. Sometimes it's not till 10 or 11. So it just depended on what I was covering when I was covering it you know, how late it ran. You know, soccer games might run till 11 o'clock, you know, and then you got the 30-minute drive home and you go up and get it, do it the next day.
Gotcha. So have you been PRN since you've gotten recertified? Have you only been PRN? Have you been, like, full-time athletic trainer?
Well, what the situation it was here until this spring, the head football coach, his wife was the head trainer. And so when I came in, that was the position that was open, the PRN. And, you know, so that's all I've done thus far. I've, you know, did a little bit of consulting, but not much, you know, in that capacity. And then, you know, things changed. You know how football coaches change and situations changed, and they've asked me to come back. But my kids are at an age right now where they're still playing sports. They're still young. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not looking for the full-time gig. You know, I would rather be able to spend some more time with my kids than get into that. And so I keep, because I'm in between right now, I'm keeping my certification current. So that way when the time is right, I can put myself forward, you know, for a full-time thing. Just hasn't happened right now.
Gotcha. That's understandable. I mean, you got to make the decision that works best for you and your family. And, you know, if you're making it right now and just picking up those extra hours on the side, you get more control of your schedule. You know, that's
the biggest thing. I think that, you know, I know that there's people that I didn't set out, let's put it this way. My first thing, you know, wasn't, hey, I'm going to do athletic training full time. It was more of a fallback. Hey, this is a way that, you know, I can make extra money. That's how I worked my way through college. You know, when I was at UAH, very, very small school, didn't have a whole lot in the way of help. It's a lot different now. When I was there, we had a full-time head, and then a part-time assistant. Now I think there's the full-time head and there's three full-time assistants. So, you know, we were covering a lot of different things back then. So as a student, I got a lot more hands-on experience in a college setting than I probably would have had I stayed at the bigger program at UT Chattanooga. You know, so I really enjoy it. And when I get to do it, you know, I like interacting with the kids. We were in a discussion on Facebook last night talking about, you know, gifts the kids have brought in and things like that. And I had one of mine bring me a tissue box for graduation, you know, so that I could, you know, clean up the tears that I would shed for one of my students that's graduating next week. So it was pretty funny, you know, gag gift type thing. And but I enjoy it just because, you know, the interaction with the kids after school.
All right. You also told me you use the sports medicine broadcast in your class some. What's some of the ways that you've done that?
Well, the big thing, and I think that, you know, ethics, while it's important, when you're talking to high school kids, it's not always a fun way let's face it, ethics, as far as trying to teach it or lecture about it, will bore the kids to tears. So what I did is I pulled in the broadcast that you did when you had the panel, you know, of the different people that were in different stages. And what I wanted the kids to see is the perspective that each of those people brought in and the things that they thought were important, you know, from, you know, student athletes, you know, dating, you know, to some of the things that college, you know, professors have to deal with in the way of ethics, you know, that the high school trainers wouldn't have to deal with. So I try to bring it in with that, and I showed bit, you know, clips here and there, you know, about the different things, you know, that I thought were important, that the kids need to look at, you know, perspectives that, that I can't, you know, as a PRN trainer bring in. I'm not into, you know, I'm not in a major university, and I don't have that perspective. So if they're planning on pursuing this as a career, then they need to be aware of the possibility that that could be, you know, looked at or frowned upon. I think some of the other stuff that was mentioned was their you know, social media accounts and things like that. Kids don't think today. They just, you know, post whatever and think about it after it's happened. And, you know, I can get them in trouble. So, you know, that's the way I used it. I didn't ever get a chance to, because of the way my schedule fell this year, to use it as a live broadcast. It was mostly the recordings.
Yeah, that works too, though. All right, well, what is a life lesson that you've learned as an athletic trainer?
Be prepared for anything. You know, I think that, especially if you're not training and, you know, being certified and then being out of the game for 2 or 3 years and then coming back, yes, there's a lot that's like riding a bicycle, like taping ankles and things like that, but I think that especially emergency situations, you know, packaging a player for transport to the hospital, you kind of lose, you know, if you're not doing it continually every year, that you're going to lose some of your game from that standpoint. So getting back into it and being prepared for the situations that you haven't seen for 2 or 3 years.
Gotcha. And who are some people you would like to thank and why?
Well, my head trainer at UAH, you know, he did a lot for me in the way of, you know, getting me prepared, you know, to move on away from that. I think he put me in a lot of unique situations. You know, UAH is the hockey capital of the South. So as a student trainer at a school for hockey in you know, in Alabama, it was unique. So we got the opportunity to do that. He put me in those positions to be prepared as a trainer, you know, after I went out into the real world. Probably my wife would be second. She'd be first. But, you know, dealing with the crazy hours, dealing with the kids, you know, when I had to be out and away. And then the very first trainer that I worked under, you know, way back when, this was in junior college, gave me a profound, you know, interest in doing the things that athletic trainers do. Didn't really get to practice a whole lot in the way of taping, but his patience, you know, just the, I guess, nurturing effect, if you will, to kind of push me toward that that goal in life and getting certified.
All right. Great job. Jason, I want to thank you for reaching out to me and, you know, just asking questions about the broadcast or incorporating it with your kids and, you know, offering to help with some of the other stuff. And if it's really cool to hear any time that the podcast is used, you know, as part of a classroom or just to improve somebody's practice. So thank you for not just taking but also giving back by reaching out to me. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate what you do. I mean, because this is obviously a valuable tool, and you know, all the hard work that goes into doing it. I know that you know, it's something that takes a lot of time from you and doing it with the kids there at the school is obviously a good thing to do. So thank you.
Yep. I know you do understand. You said you got a master's of technology integration, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm sure you can understand how much actually goes into getting all this set up, turned on, but then also getting the guest logged on to Skype or logged on to Google Hangouts is
well,
a challenge.
I'll be honest with you. I sent you a message because I haven't, Skype's more my area. I hadn't dealt with Google very much in the way of these, so I wasn't sure exactly how it worked, you know. So I learned a little bit of something today, too.
There you go. Very cool. All right, well, Jason, thank you, sir. Thank you for being part. If you want, you can hang out and we can kind of chat. You can go, you know, eat your lunch or whatever else you get. What it is you got to do. So you're welcome to stay on the line until we get ready for our next interview.
That sounds good. I appreciate it.
All right, man.
All right.
Bye.